This year of stability is serious because those who have planted in the year of accomplishment, those who have allowed God to plant, are now in a place where the ground is stable enough to sow into. And stable ground produces good fruit. Unstable ground does not. So to go off message just for a moment, I always ask God, give me a basis scripturally for these words that you give me. And he said, if you really need one, sure. He is like a man tossed with the wind, driven with the wind and tossed. Letting that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said the lack of stability stops the completion of faith manifestations. I've never seen a scripture or thought about it from the perspective of letting that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. I don't know why sometimes we just miss these powerful things that's right in front of our face. I don't know a scripture where he says that kind of behavior will block you out from God doing anything for you. Why? Because you're unstable. You're not dependable. And God began to show me my life in the past. And some of us have gone through and probably still do, hopefully not in this season. How many of you have gone to carnivals and played games? You like it? How many of you have ever played whack-a-mole? And this little thing pops up, and you got to hit it with a hammer before it disappears, and you swatting all around trying to get it. And then you got the other things like the ducks going around, and you have to shoot the ducks. And God began to show me us like whack-a-moles. He said, it's like we're popping up here and there. And he's trying to whack us with the blessing. And we keep dropping down and popping up somewhere else. It's unstable. You're not stable. You stay in one place, even if it's missing you, eventually it's going to hit you. But you keep popping up here and there and there and here and keep changing your position and your stand every few seconds. So I thought about it and I said, so you're not saying to me the unstable man won't receive anything from the Lord because you're not going to give it to him, but he's not in a place to receive it or keep it when he gets it. So it's important for us to be steadfast, scripture said, unmovable, not given to the swift, to the strong, but those who endure to the end. All of these are stability statements. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how smart you are, how quick you are. It's how stable you are, how consistent you are. That God says, when I send the angel with the answer to your deliverance, that you are there in the place of meeting. The Red Sea did not part while they were in Egypt. They had to be there at the mouth of the river. There are blessings of God that has to happen in your life with you in the place specifically to see them happen. So stability for me, I think, is the most potent word for a year that God has ever given me. I do. And I kept saying last year, man, there's something different about this. There's something different. And we all agreed and we all saw it. But there's something real explosive for me about this. I hope you join me in this, but if not, I'm still doing it. I just sense something about this word stability that's making me check all my checks. I'm double checking myself before the Lord about things. Already since the year started, it hasn't even been a week yet, there's a few things already that I've had to go before the Lord and say, that has to go. That mindset right there has to change in me. Okay, the way I've been looking at this is totally wrong. I need your deliverance right here. I need to stop this right now. And I've been seriously, not from the guilty, heavy place, but from a real contemplative, sit back, listening to the Spirit place. Watching, you're listening to me? My intentions. We love to focus on our actions because we can conclude we meant whatever we wanted to mean. But at this season, I've been saying, okay, God, I did that. And I normally do that. But show me my motivation. Show me if I'm trying to impress myself or someone more than be led by your Spirit. That's the place I'm in right now. I received a lot of freedom toward the end of the year. And just that one experience, the party, was just so many levels freeing in the Spirit. God showed me bondages that have sat over my life for decades. Things I wouldn't do. I'm thinking the past 20 plus years of doing weddings and doing everything, but because of the spiritual stronghold put over my head, I would go to all these events and just stand there and watch everybody. I wouldn't participate because I'm the pastor. Pastor's not supposed to dance. Pastor's not supposed to have too much fun. Pastor's not supposed to. And I don't drink and stuff, so that was not an issue for me. But just don't do that. And it accepted it as a truth, not realizing that it was a 20-plus year bondage. This party, all them nice couches all over the place, my behind didn't feel one of them. From the moment the music started to the moment that they almost shut the lights off. And I thought about freedom in the things of God and something as simple as that, you would think. I begin to say, how many things have we been locked out of in the kingdom of God for fear of people? Because it wasn't fear of God. God never said to me, if you dance, you're going to burn in hell. He never said it. I knew how. I used to break dance when I was young. But now I'm a believer. All of a sudden it was gone. And all of a sudden I entered into this life that I picked up religiously, whether somebody said it to me, whether it was a combination of them saying what I read into it, whatever the case may be, I took on this mantle with a righteous intention that bound me spiritually for many years. So I begin to ask the Father in this season, okay, now that we got past that hump, and even though to you, some of you it may not have been a big deal, you don't understand what was happening for me in the Spirit. It was huge, huge, huge. I begin to say, okay, God, what other gift and opportunity and pleasure have you afforded me that I've shunned in the name of religion or concern for what people think? I don't have the answer for that yet. But I'm definitely, that's where I am. But I know I will in the soon coming weeks. It's interesting that at this season I'm teaching state of the heart. And God in this season, as he always does, is showing me not just the state of the sin of our hearts, because that's what we start to look at. Yeah, what's wrong with my heart? What do I need to check? But just the imposed, self-imposed or other people imposed or religiously imposed bondages that keep you from receiving what God has called you to because you're concerned about how other people will look at you if you receive that. I'm going to lay one out that I received a long time ago, got free from a long time ago. Some of you younger folk may not know, but us older folks do know that there was a time that it was taught in the church that for you to be wealthy was evil. To be prosperous was evil. And the scripture they would have used is the love of money is the root of all evil. And they would say, so you don't love money because it's evil. Even though the pastor would have the money, you couldn't have it because it was evil. For you to want to be successful in anything was wrong. Pay your bills, believe God for enough to barely get by, and that's the righteous place and heart to be in. Some of y'all remember those times. When I first came to the realization that that wasn't true, the hardest thing for me to deal with as a minister, as a pastor, or as a mentor was to break almost everybody in this room out of that. Because that's what you believed, even though you may not have said it out loud. Even though you would say, oh, no, I absolutely do not believe that. Me and you had those conversations many times. I'm like, check deep. You do. Because your fruit shows it. Your fruit shows what you believe. Yeah, I know I got your attention now. You're looking at me. Now, I believe we're supposed to prosper. You do? Yeah. Then why aren't you? Now we have a question, don't we? If you believe it, why aren't you receiving it? He said, for when you pray, believe that you received and you shall have, Mark 11. So if you believe you received it, then why don't you have it? Why are you still doing the check-to-check thing? No, I'm not dissing you. But let's talk about the state of our heart. If we're going, these are self-imposed or religiously imposed bondages that we don't want to actually own because we don't want to accept that we don't believe that. And I think the wake-up conversation that Mike and I had, and we would go back and forth, and I said, Mike, he kept saying, I believe exactly what you believe. I believe, and he did. He adhered to intellectually everything I believe. He came from a faith church. And I said, Mike, this was years ago. I said, do me a favor. You believe what I believe? Yeah. Exactly what I believe? Yeah. Go get your bank book, and let's put ours next to each other, and let's see if we believe the same. He said, I never looked at it like that. I said, see, this is the stuff that we've been taught to hide from, the real state of our heart, what we really believe. And so we're concerned about saying the right Christian church thing. Now, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, I rebuked that. I shouldn't have said that. Okay, forget the fact that you're rebuking it because you shouldn't have said that. And somebody said, oh, don't speak that over yourself now. Don't say that. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. But then you're not going to go home and deal with the reason or the fact that you said it and where it came from. So what good is it? You're correcting yourself in front of me because that's the right church thing to do. But what are you going to go home and search yourself and say, Lord, but that did come out of the abundance of my heart. My mouth did speak that. So something in me does believe that. And obviously I'm not aware that that spirit exists. Can you please show the house to the house so that I can be free indeed? State of my heart. So I'm walking through this life, and at my 60th birthday, I come to the realization you're bound and have been bound right here. Something simple. God, whether I feel comfortable dancing or not, what difference does that make? It obviously made a difference that affected many other things that I was called to do that fell in that line that I would not do because I'm not comfortable doing that. Now that's me. What's yours? You ain't got to tell me out loud, but I want you to think about it. Because everybody in here has something that they're chained to. Something that's been sown on you. I pray that God reveal it to you right now, and even as I'm speaking. Everybody has some kind of fear. Everybody has some kind of limitation that's been spoke over them, and they come to church and they hear words and they get happy and they get excited, and then you leave here and you want to fulfill it and you can't, and you can't even get past Wednesday before it begins to drift away again. So you keep coming for a fix, but you're not getting freedom. Stability puts a stop to that. You won't be the whack-a-mole popping up here and there. You'll be right where God needs you to be. And when he brings deliverance, I will tell you this. You don't know this and you didn't see it. But I wept after I got freed during the course of this week. I sat before the Lord and I felt like a cleansing. Something as simple as that. You can't even enjoy yourself when you go out like that because people may judge you wrong. And just that freedom, it was like, wow, I wish I could turn the clock back 20 years and take back all of that. And God said, I'll return to you what the locust has eaten up and the canker worm has taken away. You won't miss a day. So as I go back to the scriptures today, I want us to think about stability. Where's God trying to anchor you? And where have you been bound? And there's a difference. God said to me last time, which I shared with you last week, you need to know the difference between spiritual conviction and condemnation, and you don't. I thought I did. I had a nice mixture of it going. Some places totally free. Come on, somebody, can I get a witness from some people? Pockets of faith. Totally free here. Halfway free here. Not even wanting to touch this one yet because it's too scary to even look at. And I will add this before I go to the scripture. In the shame of not being free, sometimes will keep you from being free. Looking at the fact that, yep, somebody said, yep. Looking at the fact that you are maybe bound in this area makes you not even want to touch it, because then you have to acknowledge that you're bound, and you don't want to acknowledge that you're bound because by now I should have been free. So now the shame kicks in and now you won't even go face it. You see the cycle? We're putting death to all of that this year. This is it, the year of stability. We're putting an end to all of this foolishness. We will be anchored, founded on the rock. The winds will come. The rain will descend. But we will stand. And we will win. And we will see the victory. And a lot of the rains and a lot of things that you will walk through is not even attacks of the enemy. It's just the dealing with the lies that have been sown within yourself. The built-in defeats. That glass ceiling that each one of us has allowed life to create, or the enemy has helped us create in our own lives. Can we be honest? I've come to the place now that God has shown me this. I know where the ceilings are. I'm starting to see, at least the ones he's showing me now. I know that there's a certain height I will go, and then we'll leave that and we'll just focus on this. I know that God's showing me now through this. These are areas that you wouldn't approach because of the fears that have been sown into you. Now, is somebody other than me in here relating to what I'm talking about? No, I want to see. Are you saying, yes, I know what you're talking about? Good. Then let's walk through them then. Let's begin this process. Look at somebody and say, we're going through. Not the church way. We're going through and coming out the other side. Go back to Jeremiah 17. Now, I'm going to pick right up at verse 10. Ready? This is right where God has me, and this is where I'm teaching right here. I, the Lord, search and examine the mind, and I test the heart, to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. I, the Lord, examine the mind and test the heart. So let's look at that a minute. God does what? And what else? So let's think about this a minute. Then the heart, we've gone through in detail what the heart is, the seat of the spirit, the core of existence, not your physical heart, because that just pumps blood. So if God says he examines the mind and then tests the heart, we're talking about two different areas here. Stay with me. The heart is the realm of what? No. Heart is the realm of the spirit. The mind is the realm of the soul. Test your heart, your spirit. He says, search your, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Your heart is the realm of the spirit. I'm glad I asked the question. That's speaking of your spiritual realm. We broke that all down. But we could do it again. I find it not grievous to repeat these things to you. So the heart is the realm of the spirit. God speaks to you through your heart. My heart told me not to do that. That's your spirit realm. Your mind is your soulish realm. Your emotions, your rationale, your feelings, your opinions all come out of the mind, not out of the heart. Got it now? We clear? But God is searching both realms. He's searching the mind, and he's searching the spirit. So he says, searching your mind to judge what's in your spirit. No? Yeah, no, yes or no? He's judging both, right? He's searching both. So he said he's searching and examining your mind, and he's also testing the heart. So that means he understands that what's being fed in, you're listening? You listening? What's in your spirit is what's been fed in to your mind. And then back the other way. I don't know if you're catching that yet. Got it? You receive the wisdom. You get catching it? The insights to the things you believe. That's why he says study the word to show yourself approval. Work wherein me not to be ashamed. That's why he tells you that. How do you guard your heart with all diligence? We talked about having a spiritual heart attack because the balanced diet is bad. You're not eating enough of the right stuff. Your spirit is filled with all kind of negativity. So now out of it, inexperiences comes out of your spirit now. What has been sown into it in all your leisure. The state of your spirit and what kind of ground you are, whether you're good ground or stony ground, is manifesting by what's being fed into your spirit, that in the moment of whatever the situation may be, the thing that's strongest is going to rise up and speak. Either the contents of your spirit or what you fed into your soul, which has now contaminated your spirit. So you're saying it can contaminate, but doesn't the Lord live in my spirit? Okay, let's not try to play semantics. First of all, God don't live in your spirit, and whoever told you that told you a lie, because he does not. But Christ lives in me. Okay, first of all, Christ is not his name. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, and Messiah is the deliverer. So he's saying deliverer or the deliverance or the delivering spirit or the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Jesus ain't walking around inside of you. His spirit and the same spirit that quickened him from the dead now lives in you, which gives you contact and relationship to his thoughts, his energy, his power, his deliverance, and all that stuff, not just for you, but for to spill out of you to other people. You know why you lay hands on people, they don't get well? Because there's not enough wellness in your spirit. I'm not talking about you physically sick. I'm talking about the reality of healing and wealth is not so in you, sown into you, that when you walk up to people, see, you don't will anybody healed. You didn't catch that. You don't will anybody healed. I prayed hard and we got all the saints and we all stood around them and prayed and they still died. Because out of all of y'all, there wasn't enough and all of y'all combined to raise that person. Why? Because you haven't sat with the word of healing and deliverance long enough for it to be oozing out of you that you could just walk in the room in the very shadow of you passing like Peter and people just get healed. See, he had enough of that presence around him after Jesus had to convict him and had to tell him about himself and had to say to him, you care about the things of man. You don't care. Get thee behind me. You don't care about the things of God. You care about the things of man. You're trying to be put on by man. After he sat around the table and he said, Peter, do you love me? Three times and had to bust Peter out of his self-righteous Peter's mold, and then Peter around had somewhere in the game had to humble himself and come. And if you read the later life of Peter, Peter's a different person. He's changed. And all of a sudden now, Peter is not about promoting Peter or making Peter's point known. Peter's all about the glory of God, that as he walks into the temple, people laying on the street are getting healed just by him walking past them. You see, there's a change and a shift that happened in Peter, that it became less Peter, and what Peter's ambitions and goals were, might have his mama come and say, can he sit at your right hand and the other son at your, your mama tell Jesus to put us on. You know, all the little games that Peter played. See, people, you got to understand, these are people.
That's right.
So he had to go to a season where Jesus had to even come back from the dead and check them. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. I've been telling you all the time. I'm your dude. What are you talking about? I've been here all the time. Feed my sheep. Okay. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Okay. Peter, yes, Lord. Do you love me? Oh, God. Lord, why are you saying this? And at that third time, his heart was broken because he realized the Lord wasn't saying, do you love me? He was saying, you don't love me. And his heart was broken. And he said, then he gave him the explanation because he wasn't giving that, you know I love you. He was like, Lord. What am I saying wrong? And now he said, see, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go and you did what you wanted to do. But there's going to be a day that you're going to be old and you're not going to be able to take yourself. Somebody's going to have to take your hand and take you where they want to take you. And he was trying to say something to him about the state of his heart and the Holy Spirit. You right now are still taking my spirit and going where you want to go. But if you would just get old in yourself and let me lead you where I want to lead you with my spirit, we can do some things. We can do some things. If I could just get you to stop trying to show off you and just be quiet and just be still. And see, when I decided a couple years ago that I wanted to get in that older person place that I saw Mama Green, I was like, whatever that is that you right there, you don't even say a bunch of deep stuff, but you say some deep stuff. And it's just, I can feel when it comes out of you. It's coming from some place that I have never visited. I want that. I want that. You just, whatever. The Lord has it. Really? You're not even going to throw five scriptures on top of that? I want that. I want that. You didn't throw 15 scriptures on top of it. You didn't say give any deep revelation to go with it and try to break it all down and get all spiritual and churchy or nothing. You said, you know, you just leave it in the hands of the Lord, baby. The Lord will take care of it. You just got to trust him. What is that? I want that. I want that. That's so real and so uncorny. I got to have that. That was so unchurchy. You didn't even feel the need to get deep and explain it. I got to have that. He said to him, finally, you see, before the first two times I asked you, you gave me the church answer. But when you answered the third time, he saw brokenness in him. Okay, so you realize you're not as deep as you think you are now. But let me tell you, you need to get to the place where you're led and not leading me with your abilities. It's a deep morning. So he says he's checking the mind because the mind unchecked pollutes the spirit. The mind unprotected. You feed yourself with the word through your mind. Stay with me. But at some point it needs to transition from intellect to awakening. I know that was deep. I know. I knew. I said, when I say this, it's gonna be so cool, Lord. It needs to move from intellect to awakening. Now, when God gives me these things, I'm like, ooh, you may try to make me look cute today, Lord. You go ahead. But listen to me. I'm trying to lighten them up because you seem so serious. It needs to go from intellect to awakening. It needs to go from aha to oh. And I can't see it any other way. It needs to become a part of who I am and the way I think. From the top to the bottom, left to the right. Oh, don't need a bunch of deep stuff to quote on top of it. That's real. How many of you have been in this church and got one of those that's real moments? Like, oh, that's real. And all of a sudden, your whole outlook was changed. See? I look for one of those every day. Sometimes God like, slow down. Let's work with that last one a little bit longer. Let's get you all the way. I'm like, I want another. Come on. Yeah, another one. He's like, no. Let's work with this one a little bit. You won't have it all. Let's work this one out. So I thought about this. If God is checking what's in my mind, then he's determining what's in my heart by my thought process. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the stuff that's manifesting in my life, good and bad, is my diet. I don't want to sit around anymore with people. And I didn't do it much before, but especially now. And talk about Donald Trump or politics or any of that mess that's in this world, but I'm not of this world. Why do I want to sit around all day and have this talk with you? It's negative. It makes my spirit sick. I don't want to sit here and listen to it. I don't want to. Remember God had me fast the news? Now I can't, I just don't. I don't want to talk about it. Why? Because I need to be clear that what's in my being fed into my soulish realm is not polluting my spirit. You're quiet right now. So if God is checking, let's go back to this verse. I, the Lord, search and examine the mind and test the heart to give to every man according to his ways and according to the result of his deeds. So now this is the part two of that verse. You ready? Your fruit and your manifestations and your deliverances and your answers to prayer are either being brought to pass or hindered by what your mind is being filled with. You got it? So that means I have to now, I get it. Guard your heart with all diligence. Well, how do I guard my heart? I guard my heart by what I decide to eat or not eat through the realm of my soul. Listen to me. Look at me and listen to me. If you want to be stable, then your diet needs to be stable. It can't fluctuate. So what do you get more of during the week? Facebook, Instagram, Word, which one's winning? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this very pointed, and you can do with it what you want. You can take this as my opinion, or you can take this as a revelation, whatever makes you happy. They have a thing now called screen time on Apple devices. I don't know if they're on everything else. And you can set the limit of how much social media and stuff you're going to look at. Because I found for myself, and I know me being as strong as I can be, what it does to everybody else. It's intentionally addictive. It's a device. You start looking at one stupid video, you go to another stupid video and another funny this, and then the comments, and then you start reading all the comments to see who said what about what. And before you know it, 3 or 4 hours have gone by of wasted, soul-destroying garbage. So I set that timer, and my screen goes black. Boop! Your time is up with this junk. Stop. And I started noticing the first week it said, you went 3 hours over your time. And then it says, okay, now, last week it said, you're a half hour under your time. And this week it said, you're an hour under your time. And I'm like, deliverance! Because I don't want to keep feeding myself with garbage. I'm in the season, God in my heart, because I want to be stable. I'm not saying, oh, you need to be sitting down all day feeding yourself just scriptures. Oh, just you need to be in scriptures all day. Not like it'll hurt you. But I'm saying, if I want to do something, I want to make sure I'm not feeding myself with the garbage more than I'm feeding myself with the good. If I'm not going to be in scriptures all week, I'm not going to be on social media all week. Number two, preachers are great, but that does not account for your time. You're come to get from me what I sit before God to get. It ain't the same as what you sit before God and get. You have a responsibility, even if you're taking what you got from me, to go before the Lord and sit before him with the thing that spoke to you and said, show me how I work that in my life. Show me what that means to me and what I should be doing in this season, in this time, with that revelation that made me go ooh on Sunday. If all you're doing is coming here to get oohed, you're done. You're not stable. You're not going to stand when the enemy throws his head up. You're not going to stand. First thing he's going to do is he's going to say to you, you're listening to me? If you don't know how the devil works, I'm going to tell you right now and in 10 seconds. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. How many of you have received promises and ideas and dreams and gifts in your heart that you know is from God for your life? You ready? First attack of the devil. Set you free right now. Ready? His first attack is the same. Hasn't changed. Has God really said? Hasn't changed. You sure God said that? Yeah, well, you ain't got it yet. Well, if it's really God, then you should just be able to just jump down off this mountain and you shall not die because the scripture. And he tries to throw another verse at you that has nothing to do with what God said to you and what you're doing right here. Just to get you distracted looking at something else. So we're going to do the circular argument. Okay, so you believe that. Well, then what about this? You believe that? Well, if you really believe that God's your healer, then why you don't just be healed right now? He laid hands and sick to recover. How come you just don't lay hands and be healed? And come on, church folk, and we battle with this. We wrestle with this. Shame comes on us. Guilt comes on us. Maybe I'm not as Christian as I thought I was. Maybe I don't pray as much as this. And all this stuff comes on. And it's like, no, you don't have a solid foundation of what you believe built up in your spirit that automatically defeats that. You shouldn't have to rebuke every spirit that comes. What's in you should automatically rise up and rebuke certain things. And I know that there's certain areas of your life that you just do. If anybody walked up to you with some crack tomorrow and tried to give it to you, you wouldn't have to say, no, Jesus, Lord, just give me strength. I believe not to take this crack. Right? That wouldn't even be a struggle. You're like, really? I don't use that. You don't think of that as a rebuke. You're like, no, because I just don't do that. A lot of people do. That's not in your spirit. What's in you is repulsed by that. I make it simpler. Daughters in this house, some female bring you some article of clothing and say, oh, this will look good on you. Look at them like, I am not putting that on. You got to be kidding. You must be kidding. I think you got the figure for it. I am not wearing that. Why? You have a standard about yourself that says, I can't do that. That don't make you better than somebody else. It just makes it your standard. And the scripture says you should be modest. I got it. But I'm saying that's a standard. Did you hear the word I just said? It's a standard. It's a standard built in you. God told them they needed a standard back in the Old Testament. He said, you guys lack a standard. A standard is just, this is the standard of who I am. So watch this. When people talk to me about poverty and lack, there's a standard in me that says, I don't know what that is. I'm so far removed from that. That doesn't even make sense to me. 20 plus years in running, I've never had a day of lack in my life. Before that, I had a lot of lack. I knew it. We were married to lack. So I talked to you guys a while back about the phases. Poverty and lack. And then you grow into things of spirit and you move into the place of provision where your bills are being paid and your needs are being met, but that's it. That's kind of what I would kind of call check to check. Then you move to surplus, and that's when you have enough to meet your needs and you have enough left over to help other people and bless other people. And then there's the other next level, and that's abundance. And that's when you have more than you can ever need, and you start seeing that Abraham type, Solomon type stuff happening. Well, God showed me, he said, for years you've been living in surplus. I don't know anything but surplus. God spoke to me coming into this year, said, but you've never let me cross you into abundance. He said, you live in surplus, but you have not let me cross you into abundance. And you've been so good with your surplus that you've been parked there. And I'm now telling you, I need you to move. Now, because of where my spirit is in my growth, let me just say this to you. I say this to you humbly. I didn't say, ooh, that means I'm going to get big houses and more cars and jets and boats, and because that's not where my spirit is. He's matured me over this time. I said, and what do you want me to do with that abundance? How do you want to use that? Did you hear that? Now, when God in that area searches my mind, that's what he finds. No, you didn't hear that. You didn't catch that. When he searches my mind and examines my heart, he knows now I put abundance on him what he's already doing because he's already saying it before it manifests. Let me bring it up. I don't think you got it yet. God examined my mind and my heart. And the manifestation, he says, to see what he can do, to see how he would bless me, to see what he will give to me. When he searches me, he says, I can speak abundance to you now because of where your heart is, and I can see what even goes on in your mind. I already know what you're going to do. Even if you stand in front of me in front of church, or even if you say to yourself in your false confession, I know soon I'm going to get my money, I'm going to pay my tithes, and then I'm going to help people. God knows that that's not real when it's not real, when he's doing his searching. He knows you're saying what you believe you're supposed to say because you're a Christian. Those of us believing for increase, those of us believing for healing, have you ever got before God and had the conversation with him about what you would do with that increase or that healing or that deliverance when it comes? That's why you haven't seen it. That's why you haven't seen it. Ooh, it's quiet up in here. I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on you. What? Jesus, help me say this, Lord. You listening to me? When my heart lines up with God's heart, his blessings flow straight through. You got that? And so whenever there's a snag or there's lack or something's not flowing right, I always stop and say, okay, God, is my heart over here and the flow of your blessing over here, and it's flowing, it's sprinkling on the ground, and I'm getting some of it on my clothes, but I'm not getting the full drench of it because I done whack-a-mole to somewhere else. My heart needs to be lined up with yours 100% so that when you flow that revelation, when you flow that truth, when you flow that whatever that is, I'm right under the flood of it. You're checking my heart. You're looking at my mind. You're seeing if I'm ready to receive what you want to do every day. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. What he wants to do every day. Let me say it one more time. What he wants to do every day. What is that? Mercy's new every morning. Blessed coming in, going out. All of these promises. Listen to me. God wants to do that. It's not a holdout on God trying to figure out who's going to win the spiritual lotto and why he's going to bless this one and not that one. He wants to bless every day. That's who he is. Heal every day. That's who he is. Deliver every day. That's who he is. God's a giver. The problem is keeping us in the place that when he does speak, we're there to hear. When he does show up with the package, like I said, I was kicking it away. Come on, blessing, get off me, stop. Come on, blessing, would you leave me alone? Rebuking the blessing and trying to make it come some other way. And when God said to me, you are not going to see the abundance that have been promised you for years. I got tapes of people prophesying it over me when I was homeless. Big, mighty words, all these things. I'm like, okay, God, I'm here. I'm there. I'm stable, financially good, everything. When is all this going to happen? He's like, when you go to the thing you keep running from that I've called you to do, the gift that I gave you that you letting rot in the field and not do anything with, when you do that. Wow. God, I would rather be blessed in these other things because I feel more comfortable. Come on, I'm not, can't be the only one. I failed at that in the natural so many times, God. I'm ashamed to even enter that realm. Can I just bless these businesses? Come on, God. These are yours? Yeah, I see them and I have blessed them. They've kept you in surplus for years, but you're not going to move into abundance and you move into the gift that I've called you to have abundance through. And you knew about that before you knew me as a child of God. When you were in the world, you knew that I had given you those gifts and called you to do that. But because you did it in the world and you got poisoned by the world and you got images of it in the world and you don't even have a perception of how to do it outside of the world, you would rather leave that alone and do this. But I am calling you back and gathering up the fragments that nothing to be wasted. And I'm telling you that I gave you these gifts to fulfill and you will or will not do it. Your choice. You still love me? Yeah. Don't shoot the mailman, okay? Some of you are looking at me like, okay, amen, amen. Are you being fed, though?
Yes.
Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
Oh, good, because this was a rough ride. When I got behind the wheel today, I was like, okay. So, God's judging my heart. Not judging. Finger wagging judging. That's not the definition judging. It's not doing this. He's getting in there and he's saying, okay, this works. That I can't use. Okay, there's some life there. And then he's sorting and he's going, okay, got too much of the junk. Only got two of the things I can use. Yeah, we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait. I don't want to wait. This is not you talking. This is God talking. I don't want to wait. I just want to lavish you right now. But I need more of these. And we need to, all of this here is a hindrance. I need you to clean that out. I'm bringing you the blessing, but your container is too small to hold it. I need to move some stuff. I want to just pour out on you. The heart of the eyes of the Lord travel to and fro, looking for someone to show himself strong on. I mean, what else do you need to read? God is like, can I find somebody that I can just explode on? But when I search, I find remnants of belief, fragments of faith, pockets of understanding. So I bless you as I can. That's what the scripture just said. I bless you according to what you give me to work with. That's what the verse just said. I search your heart and I search your mind, and then I deposit in your account according to what you can take. Bringing it home now. I search and examine the mind and test the heart to give to each man according to his ways or his ability or his insight or his understanding or his whatever, according to the result of his deeds. Now, the problem with that verse for people, they immediately turn that into a works thing. Right. So they say, okay, so if I do good, well, yeah, but if you want to judge that way, it's bad, because what deeds are you talking about? You talking about your own perspective of deeds, and the deeds have to be lined up with his. So I want to take a word from the King James. He says, I search according to his ways. And then it says, and according to the fruit of his doings. So the fruit of his doings. The word fruit, pyri, however you pronounce it, I see pyri or pyri, is literally produced from a ground, offspring, prodigy, or actions. Progeny, thank you. Or fruit of your actions. So what he's saying is, this fruit that he's examining is not the thought process of your brain, but what it produces already. You got it? Did I lose people? Okay. Right now, everything you do is out of a motive of what's already been conceived or contrived in your mind, what you fed into yourself. So whether you fear or whether you trust in the situation is a result of your time sitting with or being around something. In other words, just stay with me. You don't fear things that you've tried enough that you know how to do it. Your first time doing it, you feel nervous. If you do it once and then you don't do it again for another 2 years, you're nervous again when you start it. But if it's something that you do regularly, it becomes second nature. So in other words, if I've trusted God, listen to me, this is a good place to bring this home. If I've trusted God in a tough circumstance or situation, anybody ever? Okay. And I've seen God come through in a pinch. Stayed, I prayed, I did what I needed to do to get myself. And you believe that God felt sorry for you and he finally answered you. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. You stood still long enough. You stopped bouncing around like that mole. You ran out of all of your options. You said, I just give up, God. I just give up. Either you deliver me or I'll just stay here and die. I just quit. I just going to trust you, Lord. I have nothing else. And then you stayed in one spot. And God delivered. You listening to me? And you haven't done that as a practice. You just did that in that situation. That's not your practice. That's what you do when you get desperate. That's not your lifestyle. Let me say this to you humbly and proudly. That's my lifestyle. I don't want to be the guy that has to get crazy and pray and fast because I need to see God move. I want to see you move every day. I have a bowel movement several times a day. I want you to move more than my bowel movement. Listen, I'm just keeping it real. I want to see you every day, several times a day. I want to know that you're in it. I don't care if it's little and silly and dumb or whatever. Esther gave me a coloring book for Christmas. It's an adult color book, meaning it's not as X-rated. It means it's for grown-ups. And it has like more detail than what a kid's coloring book would have. And I sat there and started coloring in that book, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I can't match these colors. You can't make a marker look. God, what color should I pick? And I'm asking God to show me how to color. Because I want to see God in everything. Amen. 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 You may laugh at that. That's okay. He showed me. I want to know from God, you know, do you want to help me pick what to put on today? Or are you going to pick? Or are you going to tell me what to wear? And somebody says, let's go ask your wife. I'll put stuff on and I'll come out and say, yeah, this is okay. He said, yeah, go ask your wife and Angie. Go get the two Miss Browns because they tell me, you are not going downstairs, both of them. You are not going downstairs with that on. I've still put on my clothes that's like looking like they lay hammer pants on me now. And I put them on, yeah, it's all right. I'm just going downstairs. And they're like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Go take those off. No, you're not. And I have God involved in every little silly thing. I want it to be like that. I don't want to only have to run to God when the doors seem like they're all shutting around me and there's no other options. I don't want to be humbled by being embarrassed and then humbled. I want to be humbled before God privately so I don't have to get it publicly. Amen. All of these things. So this is what he said your fruit is. The fruit of your works or the fruit of your labor. He will check you by what you've already got sown in you and what's already producing, what's already in your ground. And he's like, I can't bless you. You didn't ask for apples. You prayed, even though you claimed oranges, you kept sowing lemon seeds. And lemons are beautiful, but if you want oranges, they're not. Not everything that you're doing is wrong or sin. But if your manifestation is not what you're believing for, that means it ain't what you're sowing for. I'm not talking about your giving. I'm talking about what's in the core of your spirit. And that's why, and I want to end the message with this. The time about to run out in a few seconds, but I want to end with this. That's why I think it's atrocious when pastors stand up there and tell you the answer to your prayer is for you to give more money. I think it's sinful and I think it's atrocious to try to tell you or to convince you that you can buy the move of God with your finances. I think it's evil. I think it's disgusting and I can't stand it. Because you get God's movement by your faith. And if God is testing your financial faith, you listening to me? If he's testing your financial faith by asking you to sow something, then he'll tell you that. But sometimes, God, like, I don't need your stinking money. I need you to surrender right here. I know you'll give your money in a second, but you won't give me your obedience for a minute. Stop doing this. Stop calling that person. Stop looking at that. Stop having this conversation with people. And you go pop up somewhere else. Duck down in and pop up somewhere. But I'm a good Christian over here. Okay. Okay. But that's not where I'm pouring the blessings, though. Did you catch that? Stability requires me to be where God needs me to be and have my heart and mind changed in an instant to what he's calling me to so he can bless me in that place. We're going to go over more of this next week. That's my time for today. I hope you learned something. If you do, give God praise. Now, was that God praise or was that an applaud for me? Okay, yeah, because that sounded like a hand clap, so I don't know. Okay, amen.